Today is our fourth message in the series, On the Move. And so I'm excited for where God is leading us in this. And next week, we're going to celebrate communion together. We were talking, or wanted to do it this week, and then I changed things around. And so we're going to do that next week. And we'll conclude the book of Romans next week as well, I believe. And so that's the plan for where we're heading. If you would, open your Bibles there with me, if you have your Bibles. Open to Romans chapter 15, and we're going to dive in here today and learn some things. Have you come expecting to grow today? I'm not convinced. That's like the kids asking the kids to go down to kids' church. They're like, I don't know, what should I respond? Have you come expecting for God to do something mighty? Yeah? Awesome. That's more than just Joyce. Joyce was the first one in on this. Have you really come expecting for God to do something in your life today? I mean, this is not just a simple church experience, right? We're coming saying, okay, God, we came, we set aside some time, we're here on Sunday morning, we could be sleeping. Listen, there's no reason to fall asleep in your pew, yes? Right? It's not that comfortable to start out with, okay? But you've come, and I hope that you've come expecting that God would be working in your life today to do something mighty. So open your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. We're going to dive into here this morning. And a little story before we start. It was some time ago. I won't tell you exactly the time, but it wasn't too recent, but it was months ago at least, that we were struggling in our house with something. You may have struggled with the same thing. We were struggling with a mouse. Anybody struggled with a mouse in the house? Yeah, isn't that terrible? Some of you have not, and I'm sorry for that. Oh, I should have a cat. Wow. Listen, we got to restructure where we're heading here. No distractions. And we'll pray about that. How's that? Maybe. But we had a mouse in our house, and we were having a really hard time catching this mouse. I set out one trap, and it ate. I put peanut butter on this trap that, you know, snaps and everything. It ate the peanut butter off of the trap. Can you believe this? I was like, what? So I'm like, there's no way he's going to do this or she's going to do this twice. So I set out another one here and another one over here. I got up the next morning. I'm waiting. I'm like, certainly I've got the mouse now. I've got it. Both traps were peanut butter free. You see, I had the right bait, but the mouse wasn't like, he was smart. She was smart, whatever it was. And so I'm like, okay, I got to get creative. Because the peanut butter's good, so I got to figure this out. So it took another day, and I set the traps again. Then I got the glue traps. You know, I don't like the glue traps because it's just like, what are they going to do? You know, but I'm like, okay, I got to get the thing stuck underneath the trap or around the trap so that while it's eating, it's scrambling, and then it's going to hit the thing. It didn't work. So we did several different things, and finally, it was days later. You know, we've got our bread. It's gone through a bread drawer, and so we had to throw all our bread away and everything. And so we finally, days later, were able to get the mouse. It was, do you ever have that moment where you finally get the thing done that you've been trying to get done? What do you do? Yeah, you get excited, right? So I'm up at 5 in the morning like, yeah, we got the mouse, all right. You know, everybody's awake like, what's going on, Dad? You know, have you ever been like the mouse where you're hungry for the wrong thing? Have you ever been like a mouse where you're hungry for the wrong thing? Where you're going in the wrong direction, you're hungry for something that's really not at all what you should be hungry for, and you find yourself trapped. I think a lot of times we do that in life. We satisfy our hunger with things that really aren't going to satisfy. And we find ourselves, we eat of that peanut butter, and we find ourselves in maybe like a squirrel trap or something like that. We find ourselves in this box, and we're like, I don't even know how to get out of this thing. And it's really because we've been hungry for the wrong things in our lives. You know, can I just say right now, I'm going to pick on something, because I think there's a hunger going on right now for Facebook, for texting, and for all kinds of things that we actually play on our phone. Like, it's the most amazing thing. We come to church and we say, I'm hungry, I'm expecting for God to do something, but let me play on my phone for, like, I got to finish my email list, I got to Facebook this person, and oh, they liked this, so I got to respond. Can we just put the phones down? Unless you got your Bible app out? Can we do that? If you're expecting great things from God, why get distracted with something that's so menial, right? Fair enough? All right, good. And listen, I struggle with that too. This isn't me talking down at you. I was at a conference this past weekend with Joel and Jamie. Appreciate those that prayed for us going down there. And I found myself, there's so many different things happening. And it was like, okay, I'm getting bombarded with this text at this time for this thing that's going on. And I had to keep on pushing the phone away and keep on putting it away because it was a distraction to hearing from God. And so I'm going to just encourage you to do that today. Don't be hungry for your phone. Don't be hungry for responding. Don't be hungry to do all that. Let's be hungry for God this morning. In Romans chapter 15, here's where we find Paul. Paul was ambitious, verse 20. He says, and thus I make my ambition to preach the gospel. Here was his ambition. His ambition was all about the gospel. And we talked about this last week. To be a move maker, we need to be agile, humble, and ambitious. So his ambition was all about the gospel. And kind of synonymous with ambition would be hunger. To be hungry for, to be ambitious for. And so that's where his hunger, his ambition was. He was ambitious for, he was hungry to preach the gospel. And how did this then work out would be the question. If maybe today you're like, I don't understand that hunger. That's fine. You have to rewind the story and say, okay, how do you get a hunger like this for God? It starts back in verse 18. He says, for I will not venture to speak out anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. A person that's hungry has a God center that God has placed a hunger in them for what God wants them to be doing. And it starts with saying, I'm going to come back to over here, and I'm going to only dwell on where God wants me to be. I'm going to be connected deeply with God and allow God to work in me in such a mighty way that out of this over here, I'm going to then follow him, and I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Does that make sense? Yes or no? Okay, so I'm connected with God prior to serving God. I'm connected with God over here. I've sought after God. I've allowed for God to do the work in me prior to me going and doing anything ambitious for God. He's put the hunger, he's put the ambition in my heart to do great things for him. It's not something that I just kind of came up with on my own. It's something that God is doing inside of me. And that's what Paul is saying over and over and over. Here's my question this morning. What great thing have you seen God do? You ever questioned the existence of God? Let's play a game here. If God is big enough to create this universe, okay, this is our understanding from the Bible. If he is big enough to do that, is he big enough to handle your problems? If God is big enough to do all of this, to make the oxygen just right for us. If God is awesome enough, if he is big enough to control how the stars don't collide and the earth and everything, it's organized, it's just right. Is God big enough to handle the things that we're going through? Do you believe it? Okay. So here's my question. What have you seen God do that was great? This is not a rhetorical question. You're going to answer. You ready? I'm going to prime the pump a little bit with some things that I've seen. Not in the past few years. I'm going to rewind back further than that. I'm going to go back 25 years of my life. About 25 years ago, I've been serving God for a long time. I've been a follower of Christ since I was 6 years old. And at 9 years old, I preached my first message. Okay, so I have a history of following God. And there were times, it's not that I'm perfect, but I've been following God for a long time. And so in my early 20s, serving at a church that I grew up in, and I was the Iwana commander at the time. And I remember going out at the end of the Awana year. And I went out and I did what I normally did. I looked for opportunities to share the gospel with people. And so I got together with a few guys. We prayed about this and I said, okay, the end of the year has come and there's awards that the kids, they didn't show up for the program, the closing program, you know. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go visit them and I'm going to give them their things. And I'm going to hope that through that I'll have a conversation about the gospel and they're going to come to Christ. And I remember that one night, it was a Tuesday night, I remember going down to this place. I'd never been to this place before in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. I knocked on this apartment door. It was up in an odd kind of a place. And I finally found the door and knocked on the door. And Ray and Tammy were behind there with Janae, their daughter. And so they invited me in. I said who I was. They didn't know me. Janae had come to Awana for a few times. And so they didn't know me. And so I go in and they allow me to come in. And I began to tell them about Awana. And they were so gracious in allowing me to speak to them. And so I'm telling them about Awana, and then I'm telling them about Jesus, and I'm telling them about how great God is. And would you know that that night, they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Is that crazy? Come on now. It's crazy, isn't it? Wouldn't that be the coolest thing for you to go and to share the gospel with somebody, and that night they accept Jesus? They told me then later on, if they started coming to church, and I'm still friends with them, and I was just talking with them last night, as a matter of fact. And so after a couple of weeks and them getting to know me and building some trust with me, they said, Pastor, you have no idea what you stepped into that night. We were about to finalize our plans to divorce that night. We were done. We were splitting. We were out of this thing. We hated each other. We didn't want to do anything with each other anymore, and we had no idea where to turn. And when you knocked on the door, you were in the middle of a fight. You had no idea. God worked in such a tremendous and mighty way. I had no idea. And listen, it wasn't because I was such a smooth talker that I remember the conversation. It was horrible. I remember going through the gospel. I'm like, man, I don't even know where I'm going with this. And I had shared the gospel with lots of people. I was so messed up that night just trying to get things straight. But here's the deal. It wasn't about me. It was about God doing a great thing through me. I remember another time. Another Tuesday night, we had gone out and we wanted to see people get saved in our area and come to Christ. And so we went out and we're knocking on doors. And that's what we did back then. We knocked on doors and we did that a lot. And we can still do that here, but a lot of people don't answer the door or they look at you funny or they open up with a shotgun. And that happens sometimes. And so I don't do that as much in this area. But I have. I've knocked on hundreds of doors in this area. And so I'm knocking on this door and I go and I knock and don't know who it is. It's in this apartment complex. And the guy opens up the door. And just a normal-looking guy. And he says, come on in. I hardly introduced myself. It was, hey, I'm Bill from Faith Baptist Church over here. And I forget who it was that was with me. And he says, yeah, come on in. I'm like, oh, this is kind of weird. I hope I'm going to be safe and okay. But all right, let's go, you know. And so we go in. And I'm just crazy enough to do this. So we walk into the apartment there. And he says, man, I'm so glad you're here. I'm like, all right. He said, I've been working through the Bible, and I have all these questions, and I'm trying to understand what's going on here. I'm like, what? Are you serious? Like, no, I got a spiel I got to go through before you say that, right? I didn't even get to my spiel. And so I'm there, and he's like, I got some questions. I'm like, okay, let's do this. And so Bill and Tracy are there on the couch, and they're asking questions, just kind of leaning in. And I'm like, all right, let's field these questions. And we get to the gospel, and that night Bill and Tracy accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Was it me? No. You know what it was? It was the power of God that was working in us as we stopped and we prayed, and we said, God, we need you to do something great here because we can't do it. And we walked into different situations that were bigger than us, that we had no idea what was behind the door. And we just said, okay, God, whatever you have, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you. And God gets the glory. Man, you ready for God to do something great? What's he done great in your life? There's two things. I'll share a couple more if you don't say anything. What's God done that's great in your life in the past, I don't know, couple of years? What have you seen that you'd say, this is a testimony of God's greatness? Jenny, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Wow. Donna. That's awesome. That was a God-sized thing. Yeah. That's great. What else? What have you seen that say, this is God, God's working great? John. Yeah. Yeah, that was a God-sized moment. For sure. Choice. Amen. Amen. Healing your anxieties and fears. Praise God. That's awesome. There are so many God-sized things. Remember a few years ago, for those that have been at Berean for a while, we were talking about this as we're on our trip, and I want to share it again. A few weeks ago, there's a guy that came in church here, Mark Virick. His story is awesome. You see, what happened with that, just to give you a background of this was a God-sized moment where there was a tragedy in his family that happened, where there was a hunting accident, and the father of a 14-year-old son, father was killed in a hunting accident. And it was a tragic time. And I remember going into the house, and shortly after that, it was like hours after this happened, and I was not the senior pastor. Pastor Vaughn and I were here, and we went in together, and we had no idea what was behind the door. When we walked in, opened the door, and they welcomed us in, and it was almost like there was a party going on. Not that they were excited he was gone, but it was the peace of God. And that's what they said, the peace of God is here. God has just given us grace. While he's dead, while this horrible tragedy has just happened, we don't understand it, but we're okay. We're okay. And they're like serving us, and we're like, what? You know, this is absolutely a crazy, crazy thing. And God was just doing an amazing thing there, but that wasn't the end. You see, that was the beginning, because later on in the week, we had the service right here, and this place was packed. There were so many people in here. There was standing room only, and while we were sharing the gospel and everything, at the end of it, Pastor Vaughn did a phenomenal message, and he was preaching, and God was just using him. And afterwards, we went and had different things going on, and I came up to two people. I came up to Mark and Sherry, and I said, hey, guys, what do you think about what he said tonight? About accepting Jesus as your Savior? I mean, that's a simple question, right? I had no idea what to ask. So I just asked that, and they said, you know, and here's the backstory of that. I had been to their house twice before, and they did not like the preacher coming to their house. You ever not like the preacher coming to your house? You with me? The pastor says, hey, let's go out for dinner. So let's go. And you're like, oh, man, this guy. I can't believe him. Why is he being like this? And there are people like that. And I know there's some. Like Joel was okay with hanging out this weekend. It was the coolest thing. So he wasn't mad at me or anything. But there's some that are okay with the pastor being around. And I had been their house twice before. And they're like, oh, man. And he told me this later on. How he was like, we hated having you here and stuff like that. And so... No kidding. And so I'm talking to them, and I said, hey, what do you think of the stuff that we talked about tonight? And they said, hey, listen, Pastor, why don't you stop over our house? I said, oh, okay. So I wrote down time. We agreed. I came over that Tuesday night. That Tuesday night, I began to share the gospel again with them, and that Tuesday night, they accepted Jesus as their Savior. That was a God-sized moment. That's not it, though. As I was walking out after talking to them, I go to the back there, and I'm talking to Jim. Another guy that he had only visited here a couple times, and it was one of his relatives that had passed as well. And I was talking to him. I said, hey, what do you think of what was talked about tonight? I'm like, hey, it worked for them. I'm going to keep this question up. I'm like, wow, that was a good one. You know, you ever do that, right? And so I'm hey, Jim, what do you think of this? And he just began to cry. And we sat in the pew for a while. And that night, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. You see, here's the reality. My God is a big God. my God is. And I can give you more stories of people that are sitting right here of your life that you're like, I don't know, that'd be a little embarrassing if you told everybody about my story, of how God did a mighty work in you and changed your life in something that was just a situation that was crazy out of control. And all of a sudden, God shows up and does this amazing, miraculous thing. Do you believe God for that? Are you hungry for that? You see, that's what I'm pushing here. That's my agenda, if you will, that God would be God in our lives, that he would be bigger than anything we've ever experienced, that he'd be outside of the box of anything we've experienced, not like winning a championship big, but about God-sized changes in our lives where he takes impossible situations and he does what is just incredible and changes around and shows how big he is. Are you ready for that? You see, I'm hungry for God to do greater things here. So Paul, as he's walking through this and he's seeing God do some amazing things, he says in verse 19, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way down to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And so he's saying, here's what's happening. God is so powerful in me that I'm doing signs and wonders. He's speaking in languages he's never spoken in. He's healing people that is just incredible. Matter of fact, Apostle Peter, he walked by people and just the shadow of Peter was healing people. It was an incredible time where God was working in ways that were like, whoa, way outside the box. He says, I've been all over the place, and I've seen God do some great things. And so he comes down, and he gets down to verse 22, and he says, this is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. He says, here's the reality. I know you want me to come to hang out with you. I know you've been begging. You've been sending people. Why don't you come hang out with us? What's going on? You're ignoring the people in Rome. We know about you, Paul. What's going on? Why aren't you here? And why didn't you show up? And he says, listen, here's the deal. Here's why I'm hindered. Here's what's slowing me down. God's doing something mighty in me over here. And I can't get there yet. God hasn't given me the open door to be able to get there yet because I'm busy over here. And he says, but I'm finishing things up. I can see in verse 23, but now since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I've longed for you for many years to come to you, and so now finally I'm going to have this opportunity to come to you. And here's what he's saying. As you follow God, you need to please God, not people. You follow that? What was he doing? He was saying, hey, listen, I'd love to come to you, but God didn't say it's time. I'd love to. It's kind of like the pastor, you know, like me. You have an appointment with me for 2 o'clock, and I show up at 3:30. Never done that before. Never been late, right? You know, and I show up a little bit late, and you're like, what's going on? Why are you late? And I'm like, oh, man, let me tell you what I was just doing. I was over ministering to this person over here that was in a crisis situation and they didn't know who Jesus was, and I led them to who Jesus was and they accepted Jesus. What would you say? Would you be mad at your preacher? No, you wouldn't. As a matter of fact, I've been late to different appointments. I've never had anybody mad at me. Unless if it's a bad excuse, like I overslept. I don't think I've ever had that one. But here's the reality. Here's what Paul was saying. I know I've been hindered. I know I'm late. I know I've been wanting to come to you. I know we've been talking about this. I'm not just talking about it. I want to be there with you. But God's doing something over here, and I had to finish what God wanted me to do here before I moved on to get over here. Please God, not people. If you're all about pleasing people, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be confused. You're going to be running this way, that way, and the other way. And you're never going to have the security of God working in you. As a matter of fact, you won't even have time for God. When you please your children instead of pleasing God, you won't have time for God in your home. Because what you'll do is you'll say, oh, they want me to sign up for this. Oh, they want me to buy this. Oh, they want me to take them here. They want me to go there. And there's a pleasing of children rather than pleasing of God. As you please God, you're able to restructure your life and say, you know what? I know you want to go there. I know you want me to spend that on this. I know this and that. And I get all that. But let me tell you what God wants us to be doing. And you restructure your home based on the priorities of God in your life and in your home. there's a total change. When you please God in your workplace, it's the same thing. If you're owning your own business, when you please God with your own business and how you're running your business, it totally changes everything. In that, instead of pleasing people and running from this to that to the other thing, you're saying, okay, slow this train down a little bit. I'll let God take care of this. And I'm going to please God, and I'm going to put God first in how I'm handling this and that and the other thing. And it's amazing how God works things out. I've watched God at different points, whether it's in things outside of the ministry or inside of the ministry, where I say, okay, God, this is totally crazy and impossible. I'm not sure how I'm going to get all this stuff done, and I have all these expectations, but I know you want me here. So I'm just going to hang out right here. And I'm going to do this until you tell me it's time to go, or until I'm at the completion part of this. And I've watched as God does this amazing thing where you get to the next one and things just go awesome and great. Or I've even had people cancel, where they call and say, I had a situation like that this week. I had an appointment that some things got all rearranged in my life. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm really frustrated with this. This is not what I want. You ever get frustrated with things not going the way you want them to go? I'm not the only one, right? Okay? And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm not sure, but I know that for me to follow through and do this, it's not the right thing. And so I have to not do this because I know that's not in your will, your plan. So I'm not going to do that. So, Lord, I'm going to trust you in that. And the person said, oh, man, that's so great. I'm glad we could rearrange because that didn't work for me, but this does. It's amazing how God works. Just that tiny little thing. But it's a willingness to step out by faith and say, God, I'll follow you. I'm going to please God instead of pleasing people. Are you willing to please God instead of please people? If you are, then you'll put him first. You'll put him first in your life. You're going to put him first in your home. You're going to put him first in everything that you're doing. You're going to say, God, how does this please you in how I'm paying my taxes? How does this please you in how I'm working this job over here? How does this please you in how I'm talking to this person? How is this going to please you in how I'm being at home with my kids or with my husband or my wife or whoever? How am I pleasing you? When we please God instead of pleasing people, we allow God to do a mighty work in and through us. It's a total step of faith. So then the next thing you find him doing in verse 24, he says, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on the journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints for Macedonia and Achaia. I have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be service in the material blessings. When, therefore, I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. What's he saying? What did he just give to them? His itinerary, right? Here's my plan. I have a plan that God's going to do some great things over here. God's got this thing worked out. I know where I'm heading. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to go to Spain, and I'm going to hang out with you for a little bit, and that's the plan that I have going on here. Listen, when you're hungry, you plan ahead. You plan ahead. You don't just kind of wing it and hope for the best. You plan ahead, and that's exactly what Paul was doing. He knew where he was going next, and he knew what he needed to get where he was going. He had people prepared to be able to give so he could take money to the poor over here. He had provisions there for his journey so he could get there and be able to just continue on from one step to the next. He had planned ahead for all these things while he was in the holding tank over here and where God had him. He knew where he was going. He planned ahead. Listen, there's an amazing amount of planning that needs to happen in our lives. We shouldn't just wake up and say, well, I hope things go all right. We should be planning ahead. What are we going to do? And by the way, tucked into the story is a fascinating thing. While Paul made plans, know what God did? He changed it. He certainly made it to Rome, but it wasn't the plan that he had in mind. It's a totally different route that God took him. And it was just a simple, okay, God, you change this around. I'm going to be flexible within the plan that I feel you've laid on my heart. And there's flexibility in how we're going to move about and go to the next step. When you're hungry, you plan ahead. Listen, if you're procrastinating and putting off what needs to be done and you're not diligent with your time, that's not a godly attribute. Do you realize that? Listen, if you come in, if you're a teacher here in this ministry, and you come in on Sunday morning, and you're like, oh man, it's been a rough week, and I haven't had time to prepare, and you kind of open things up, and you're going to teach Sunday school, or you're going to teach a kid's church, or you're going to teach in Awana or whatever, and you just open up that morning, listen, you're not prepared. That's procrastination. That's not diligent. How do you expect God to move when you're over here just saying, I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing, and you've been playing games all week, and you get to this point where you're like, oh, man, I got to quit do this. And you're constantly on the back or behind, and you're not prepared. Listen, God's not in that. God's called for us to plan ahead, be prepared, and to be pushing and saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do to schedule out so that I know what I say yes to and what I say no to so I can accomplish what God's called me to accomplish. And then when God changes my route all the way around, here's what he does. Because I've had this happen where the best laid plans, God interferes. And God says, and does he have the right to interfere? He certainly does. I'm like, okay, Lord, this was totally out of the crazy. And for me as a pastor, sometimes one of the hardest things is when a funeral happens. Because a funeral can consume my whole week. Because I'm now scheduling all kinds of appointments with family. I'm preparing a message, and I have all these different things. And I've had different times where I'm like, okay, I got a great week planned. And then on Monday morning, so-and-so passes, and my whole week is now shot. You know, and it's like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to really work mighty. And I've seen God show up and do some awesome things to make things happen in the way that only he could get the glory for. I remember standing up here one time years ago. I had prepared a message, and I felt, and I've only done this twice. I felt that right before the message, it was not the message God wanted me to preach. Do you know how unsettling that is? Could you imagine? How many of you would like to stand in front of people and talk? Wow, there's nobody. I'm the only one. Listen, imagine being up in front of a church and taking the notes that you had prepared hours and hours and hours for. And while you're praying in the pew, feeling that God's saying to you, that's not the message for tonight, but I'm going to give it to you. Would you be a little apprehensive? Would you be a little bit nervous? Yeah, right? I was. I was nervous, but at peace. I was nervous that I would get in God's way. At peace with, okay, God, I'll trust you. So here's what happened, funniest thing. So I put my notes down, the last song, and so I start just jotting a few things down. Based on what I felt God was leading me in. So I wrote down a few things. I mean, literally, just chicken scratch. Say, okay, Lord, that's what you want. That's what I'm going to do. So literally that night, I think it was a Sunday night service back several years ago. And so I opened up God's word and I said, here's where we're going to go tonight. Nobody knew I'd scratched my notes. And I began to preach. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm not sure where I'm going to go. And as I'm preaching, and I was preaching through the life of Moses is where I felt God wanted me to go. As I'm preaching, I go back, I open my Bible. I'm like, all right, I know it's in Exodus. I had not even opened my Bible for this, but in my life, I prepare and I read the Bible on a consistent basis throughout. So I get up and I'm preaching. And I'm like, okay, I know it's in Exodus. So I open up and I look down and literally, as I'm preaching, I look down at the verse that I'm talking about reading. Not once. Did it that time. I'm reading through and I'm explaining. I'm like, okay, that's the Holy Spirit working. I see that's not me. I didn't have that written down. As God is my witness, I go and say, okay, and then I knew I was going to this next passage. And I turn over here and I'm like, okay, I think it's three chapters away. And so I just literally flip and I look down and no kidding. I look down and again, I'm looking at the verse that I should be reading for the text that I'm talking about. And several times through, I'm like, I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go. And I'm able to page through. And I did this on several different times through the message. It was not my power. It was his. And I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world am I going to preach a message that anybody's interested in? Maybe I'm not following God in this. And I have all these nerves going on and everything like that. And okay, God, I want to get out of the way and let you do this thing. At the end of the message, I literally had several people come up and say to me, no lie. I think that was the best message you ever preached. I was half between mad at God and okay with God. You follow me? Like I had 20 hours into the message I was going to prepare, and you had 20 seconds into yours. That's just annoying, God. You follow me? That's what's going on in my mind. And God got a hold of me and said, are you kidding me? I am God. I am in charge. I am bigger than all the preparations that you have. That don't be lazy. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. But listen, I'm in charge and I've got this. I'm bigger than you. I'm bigger than your plan. I'm bigger than all the things that are going on. And I've got you exactly where I want you to go. So will you follow me? It was a time for this preacher to repent. You follow me? This is time for me to back up and say, okay, God, you're in charge. You got this. I'll follow you. So plan ahead. But let God interfere with your plans when he interferes with them. Be careful, because tucked into that is a little nugget that sometimes we let people interfere in God's plans because we're trying to please people instead of God. That's a whole other message, I think. So you go down further, and then verse 29. He says, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Notice what he's saying here. Paul says, I know that when I come to you. Do you see the confidence that he's speaking in? Listen, when you look at the things that you're going on and the impossible, the difficult, the challenging things that you're struggling with, you're like, I'd like God to show up in this, in my family, in my finances, in my relationship, in my whatever. And you're saying, I want God to show up in this. I want God to be great in this. You say, I don't know, maybe he will. And we sit there in doubt looking forward and say, well, maybe he is. Maybe he's big enough. Maybe he will. I know he can, but I don't know if he will. Know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, when I come to you, it's a statement of confidence. It's a statement of, I know this is God's plan. I know I'm going to get to you. And so when I get to you, and he certainly did get there. Oftentimes, our faith is only in our prayer. God, I know you can. And God is calling us to go a step beyond that and say, okay, Lord, I know that you will. And so, God, I'm going to trust you through it. Paul looked at the future with confidence, and together we should be looking at the future with confidence. You know what? I find that there's a lot of self-talk that happens that destroys the future of our lives. Do you follow me? It's self-talk that says, I'm not good enough to get there. I know God's bigger, but he's never going to bless me like that. He's not going to, there's no way, I can't do that. And there's a lot of self-talk that's totally defeating and tears us down. And, well, that's just not my personality to talk to them and to follow God and do that. Man, I just don't have enough resources to do that. And there's self-talk that we talk ourselves out of what God is planning to do in us. Instead of saying, when I get there, when this happens, I know this is the plans that God has for me, so when this happens, I'm game. It will. What are you praying for today? Are you praying in confidence that God's going to complete the work that he already set in motion? And the last thing I see in verse 30. He says, I appeal to you. To put that in a different way, I beg you. You ever seen somebody beg before? What does that look like? Have you ever begged somebody for something? My brothers and I, you know, I grew up with seven other brothers, and we did this thing called Uncle Mercy. You know what that is, right? It's the stupidest game I've ever played, right? But it's okay. Like, I would not play that game with Sean Bussy, right? You know what I mean? Like, that's just not going to happen. You know, there's the one game where you put your hands, you lock your hands like this, and you're like, you know, do this. No way, that's not going to happen with my brother Sean. I'm sorry. Yeah. And you, like, twist and turn, and here's the end game, right? And teens, we do this, or you do 6 inches, right? And you finally get to the point where you're like, mercy, mercy, stop, stop, I can't take it, you'll break my hand, or whatever. Here's Paul saying that. I beg you. I'm begging you. Come on, guys. I'm begging you. I appeal to you, my brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. In several of the letters that Paul wrote, he said the same thing. Would you pray for me? We need to pray together. We need to be begging God. I'm begging you to beg God, is what he's saying. Would you pray for this? I'm asking you, would you strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf that I may be delivered from the unbelievers or the disobedient ones in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And here's what he's simply saying. He's saying, listen, I'm begging for you to pray. I'm begging you to beg God for him to do a mighty work, to release me from this so I can get over here to do this. What are you begging God for? Some of you are stuck in a really tough situation. Some of us are stuck in a tough situation. You're stuck financially, and you're like, I'd love to serve God in a different way, but I'm stuck financially. I blew it financially, or I'm in debt financially, or I had this thing happen financially, and I'm working two and three jobs. And I see that as a common thing today, that we're working two, three jobs to be able to make ends meet. Some because we're saying yes to things that God didn't want us to say yes to. Some because things just happen in life and there's it's out of your control, and it's like, oh man, that's the only way I know to do it. When's the last time you begged God for him to release you from that? Or relationally, you'd love to go further with God, but you have this relationship that's just holding you back, this pressure back here that's holding you back from going to the next level. And you're not asking for God to release you from the relationship. You're asking for God to change that situation so in that relationship you both go forward together even. Man. And that's where I see Paul in his prayer here. Would you beg God, as I'm begging God, to do something mighty? I am stuck here and I need God to move. So often, I think that we're satisfied with doing average things. We're satisfied with God answering average prayers. Like, here's our prayer. God, would you give me a good day today? What's a good day look like? It's so average, isn't it? God, would you help me just to get along with my family today? That's so average, isn't it? I'm not saying it's not worthwhile. I'm just saying it's average. It's okay. God, would you help me to just be nice to so-and-so today? Listen, all of that's just simple obedience, right? When's the last time you asked God for something that's bigger than that? Bigger than you can even imagine? Listen, I'm not like a health and wealth gospel kind of a person. That's not what I'm saying. Man, if you were to give more money and you ask God to bless, then you're going to have 10 times that when you get home. It doesn't work that way, okay? So here's where it should be, that we're begging God for him to be mighty in our lives. That we go beyond just the satisfactory, average, status quo kind of a life, and we say, God, I'm begging you for more. I'm not simply begging you for my marriage to get better. I'm begging for restoration and for us to serve God together. That would be a God-sized movement in many homes. Do you know that? I'm begging you, God, I'm in debt up over top of my eyeballs. I'm so embarrassed about the debt that I have. I don't even know what to do about this, but I'm in bad shape. And so, God, I'm just praying that you would be bigger than that and give me the strength to work the hours I need to work. Give me the strength to pay off my bills. Give me the strength to say no. Give me the strength to cut off my credit cards. Give me the strength to do whatever I need to do so I can relieve myself from the things that I burden myself with. And God, would you bless me in amazing ways so I can go even further? I had a professor say years ago, outside of a class in Bible college, he was a professor friend of mine, and he said, God doesn't pay off your credit cards. I'm like, what? He said, I racked up thousands of dollars of credit card debt, and I prayed for God to pay it off. God doesn't pay off your credit card debt. And I thought, well, that's just kind of weird theology. He goes, no, God does something better. God works in you to give you the discipline and the control and the strength to depend on him and to follow him, to be generous instead of trying to get, and to pay things off instead of going deeper into debt over things. He works in a much mightier way than all of that. He said, if you want to pray, don't pray for God to send a miraculous check in the mail that's going to pay off your $5,000 of credit card debt. Instead, why don't you pray that God will give you the strength to stand up to yourself and do what God wants you to do and not spend what you don't have and not enable other people to spend what you don't have and not get into things that are going to destroy what God wants to do in your life. That's a hard lesson. I find God doing that in a lot of different things, and here's what he does. He gives you the strength to get through if you're willing to follow him. If you're willing to follow him. Years ago, I think I told this before, and I'll tell it again this morning. Years ago, I remember as I was working in one job, I was in between jobs. I had to work two jobs for a season because I wasn't getting enough hours over here, and so I was taking hours over here, and then they both got busy, and I was working just crazy hours. I was getting up at like 3 in the morning and going to one job and working till 7 o'clock, and then I was working from 7 o'clock till like 4 or 5 o'clock, and it was just kind of crazy hours. And this was while I was an assistant pastor up in Phoenixville, and I had several ministers, a WANA commander. I was in charge of the choir and the music and different things like that. So I had all these responsibilities. I was newlywed, and I just prayed, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but I can't quit. I got to take care of my wife. I got to take care of my child. So, Lord, you're going to have to do something mighty here, and I don't know what you want to do. And so I started drinking coffee. I started drinking. As a matter of fact, I had a thermos full of coffee to get me through. And then God convicted me and said, no, you don't need that. What do you need that for? You're depending on that more than you're depending on me. Okay, Lord, really? Do you know my hours, Lord? Like, how am I going to have enough strength? And so I put it away and had one cup instead of a thermos. It was amazing to watch as God gave me the strength to get through every day. And I just kept begging God, God, give me strength. I'm not giving second best effort when I go to this job. I'm a Christian, I'm a pastor, and they know it, and I'm not going to be a lazy individual because I'm working too many hours. I'm not going to be the one that everybody's picking up the pieces for. I'm going to be the one picking pieces up for others. Because that's a good Christian worker, amen? And that's who we should be. It should be that in our workplace, everybody says, I want another Christian just like you. That's how it should be, yes? Because we're following God, and God gave me amazing strength. And that's all I'm talking about. I begged God for the impossible. I didn't think he could do that. I mean, that's such a small thing even. And he gave me amazing strength and gave me the ability to just be able to keep up with that for that short season that I had. And it was several months that I had to work through that. And some of you are there. You understand. Some of you have been doing that for years, and you're like, yeah, that's not that big of a deal. I've been doing that for several years. I know. I admire you for it. And are you praying for God to do big things? Are you begging God to do the impossible things, not just the average things, but the incredible way outside of the box? And here's the thing. I think that the tipping point is, are you hungry for what God wants you to be hungry for? So we're playing up here, and the music's going. It's great music this morning. Rob's playing, and he's playing the piano right and singing, and Bob's over here playing the drums. Could you imagine in the middle of the song, as you start to sing, Shout to the Lord? Could you imagine? Bob's over here playing the drums, doing a great job playing the drums, and all of a sudden his phone rings. And we're singing, Shout to the Lord, and his phone, he doesn't have it on vibrate or anything. It's on and he picks it up in the middle of the song, right? Can't play drums without, all right, and so he picks it up. Hey, how you doing? Oh, Frank, it's been a while since we've been talking. Yeah, I'm so glad you called me. Hey, when you want to get together? And he's over here hanging out in the drums, and we're trying to sing and have a worship time with God, and Robert's over here, and he's playing the music, and he's like playing away, and he's looking over, and he's giving him the evil eye. Yo, put the phone down. You're killing things here. What's the problem? Why are you doing this, right? And it's like chaos and craziness up here. You want to know what it is? You see, while he should have been hungry to play the drums and keep on going, he got hungry for something that was a distraction to what he should have been doing. I think a lot of times our hunger is quenched because we're distracted with things that aren't part of what God wants for us to have in our lives. You follow me? Man, I'm preaching this because I'm preaching at me. Not because I'm looking down at anybody here, but because I needed this. Because this is what God's been pushing in me for a while now. And get rid of the distractions. Some of us are so hungry for things on our phone. We're hungry for somebody to respond or to reply or to comment or whatever or to Snapchat. And we're hungry for all of that. And God says, why don't you make your hunger about being with me? We're hungry for Facebook when we should have our face in his book. You follow me? Some of us are hungry to buy more stuff and to get more and to get that next thing. And God's been prompting and saying, no, I've got God-sized things in mind for you. If you just save your money, I've got something God-sized in mind for that. Stop spending it on the and stop wasting it over here. Some of us, God says to us, while we want to look, God's telling us to look away. He wants to do something God-sized with our eyes and with our mind, but instead we're looking at things we shouldn't be looking at. Some of us are hungry to give up when God is saying, press on. Some of us are hungry to get rid of the pain that we're in when God is saying, oh no, I want that pain to stay there because in that pain, you're getting closer to me. God wants to do great things in our lives, not average things. God wants to do great things, impossible things even. Are you there? Are you asking God for impossible things? Are you asking God for great things? Are you asking God to do things that are beyond you? What are you hungry for? Listen. If you're not connected to the Father, if you're not connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not connected to God, then over here, the things you're hungry for are not going to be godly things. So it starts with being connected with God. And the outflow is the hunger for what God wants you to be doing. I'm going to close in a different way today. I'm going to give us an opportunity to give our tithes and offerings in a moment here. And Jamie's going to come up and he's going to share some announcements with us as to what's going on. But during that time, we're going to do something odd. I'm going to take this whiteboard and I'm going to pull it up here closer. And here's what I'm asking you to do, because I think sometimes we miss out on where God wants us to be. And I have no idea what time it is because I can't see the clock, so it's all good. We're just going to keep on going, yes? All right, good, because I think this is powerful. I can't see it because the light, yeah, oh, okay, good. We're perfect amount of time. So here's what we're going to do. Pull the whiteboard up, and I'm going to just put on the top, hungry question mark. What? And here's what I want you to answer. What God-sized thing are you asking God to do? What God-sized thing are you asking God to do? If we're going to pray in the way that Paul told us to pray, we're going to beg God together for God to do a movement, then what we should be doing is knowing what to be praying for. So I'm going to ask you, church, for those that, like, not everybody's going to want to participate. I get that. I'm not giving you any excuse. I just know that some of you are like, I'm not doing this. Fine. You'll miss out. But for the rest, I'm going to ask you to write in one, two words so that we have space up here. What God-sized thing do you want God to do right now? Could be a name. It could be a situation. It could be something that you're just putting something simple up that everybody would just say, okay, I get that. And then before we leave, I'm going to give you an opportunity to take a picture of that and pray all week for that. To beg God for the impossible things. Can we do that? Is this weird? I'm good with it. So here's what I'm going to do. Take out your response cards. As you're thinking through this, next week we're going to start our
ladies' Bible study and stuff, and Jamie's going to talk about that. But in your response card at the bottom, maybe this is your first time here. Feel free to put that on here. It's your first time. Fill out the front, and then place this in the offering plate so we can have record of who you are and how we can care for you. Then on the back, there's three different things. Maybe today's the day that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you mark that? Or maybe you simply would say, I have drifted away from the Father, and it's time to reconnect. Where that first part of connecting with God, you're not there. You've drifted, and you know it, and it's time to reconnect. Or maybe the third one, you respond by saying, pray for me to have a hunger for what God wants me to be hungry for. Just following that right up. Would you mark that and then put that into the offering plate as it comes in? I asked the guys if they would come forward, and here's what I'm going to do. Jamie's going to come up in a minute then, and he's going to share a couple announcements. I'll get the whiteboard ready while he's talking, and then we'll be able to just spend a couple of minutes doing that, and then we'll close out in prayer. So let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for your amazing mercy and grace, your love, your just the work that you do. We know that, God, there is nothing too difficult for you. So, Lord, give us the faith to ask. Give us the faith to please you, to plan, to follow through with what you've called us to do. Guide us there. It's through Jesus I pray.